I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
I do not know about you, but I am always down to become a more intuitive psychic witch. Like, to up the ante on any of those words or descriptors, I'm there. I'm down. I'll fuck around and find out. I would love that. I personally deeply enjoy being an intuitive, psychic, witchy person. It has exponentially improved my life and my work and my relationships. And I remember before I really, really felt that those pieces of me were alive, when I was like, am I intuitive? Would I call myself a witch? I remember all of the feelings that I had about intuition. It felt like this elusive thing to me, this thing that was like, well, I know I am intuitive in some ways, but not in other ways. It was like unreliable. Like, it was like an anxiously attached part of my life. And developing my intuition is an ongoing practice, developing, just like developing psychism or mediumship or any witchcraft that you practice, any craft that you practice, herbalism, astrology, all of it, right? The more we practice it, the more finely honed it becomes, the easier it gets to use. And something that I didn't get, you know, when I first started doing this was that intuition isn't actually as like mystical and magical as one might think. It's not as like far removed as we're often taught it is. You know, we're often taught that like intuition is something where you have to, you know, blindly pick a tarot card on Instagram and guess what it is. And, you know, if you pick the right one, then you're intuitive. And while that could be true, right? Could be a coincidence, could be true. I think really like the way that we can actively work on our intuition, become more intuitive, psychic, magical, powerful people is by listening to our intuition more. And it's like, yeah, duh. Easier said than done, dude. Because how do I know when my intuition is talking to me? I feel like I've talked about this a million times before, but I remember at one point in my life, I was in my early 20s, I was dating someone for a really long time, and I found out all this stuff after being with him for like 5 years. That he was like totally not the person that I thought he was, that everything that I thought was real was not real in our relationship and in our life together. And I remember very like vividly my friend Kara saying, what's your gut telling you? What's your intuition telling you about this situation? And having almost like this just emptiness in my stomach, like what is my gut telling me? I have no idea, nothing. There's no dial tone. It is, the line is dead. And I really felt like, wow, I have no intuition. Truly, I have nothing. In fact, I even started practicing the Costanza, you know, where I would have inclination to do something, and I would decide to just do the opposite. And things started working out really well for me. And I realized now that I was leading so much with my brain, you know, my like logical mind, and what I thought I should do, that by going in the opposite direction of that, or what I deemed was the opposite, was often the way that I would tap into my intuition. Because I would silence the brain by saying, okay, well, I know what my brain wants me to do. I'm going to do not that, because that hasn't gotten me where I want to go. And I'm in a world of pain. And that was so fascinating, because the more that I did that sort of, you know, reverse on myself, the more I started to sort of feel something in that void in my gut, started to sort of get a sensation or sort of like a glimmering of intuition coming up for me. And you might want to try the George Costanza, which is do the opposite of what you think you should do. Or maybe we can rename it the Michelle Palazzon Lipset. But I really think that for many of us, especially like really capable people, we're used to hearing intuition, hearing our gut, hearing our psychic instincts, and immediately out of hand, dismissing it. Like without it, it's almost as if it doesn't even truly enter our atmosphere before it like sort of, we block it, we shield it from our consciousness. And we're just so used to doing that, saying to ourselves, well, I couldn't possibly do that thing, or cool idea, but it's never going to happen, that over time, our intuition really just does become this little gnat that sort of like wafts into our orbit for a second, and then we can very quickly, you know, smack away. And then we're like, but where's my intuition? I think you just killed it with the back of your hand. So this is all to say that if we want to develop our intuition, we have to start listening to it. And that means we have to stop ignoring it when it sort of wafts into our consciousness. And I think that a big way of doing this, it's not always just like, oh, I think I see something out of the corner of my eye, or I have a craving for a food, or I want to go, I don't know, I'm just feeling like I need to go to the garden store today. I don't know why. While those are definitely little sort of, I think, winks from the universe, little breadcrumbs from our intuition, sort of seeing like, oh, are we going to take it and run with it or not? I think another form of intuition that people ignore all the time are ideas. Ideas for projects, ideas for businesses, ideas for how you want to start living and acting in your life. And we sort of, I do this too. Listen, I have ideas all day long, unfortunately. Wish I didn't. I mean, like this week alone, the number of stupid ideas that have popped into my brain, like, let me just list out a couple for you. Last night, it's like, oh, I should definitely start hosting afternoon tea with my son, Rhodes. It would be so nice for him to have afternoon tea just like, I don't know, other people do in other countries. And a little moment where we can eat some biscuits and we can just drink our tea and we can talk and we can have a little break in the afternoon. That would be so sweet. Oh, maybe I should actually do tea with my friends. Maybe everyone should do afternoon tea at our house. Okay, that was one idea that just took me down a rabbit hole. Just one. Then I had another idea. Oh, what if I start curating wellness and spiritual events in the Holisticism newsletter again? I used to do that a long time ago. It would be so fun. Now that, you know, we're not in a global lockdown anymore, maybe that would be a nice thing to do so people feel like they're less online and they can meet more friends and create community. Great idea. And there's a lot that goes with that. So that's literally just two. I have, I think, probably 25 ideas that I wrote down this week. Big ideas, small ideas. I want to crochet my husband a Bodhi-inspired shirt. Great. Okay. That's going to take some time. Lots of things. We get these ideas all day long, right? Or maybe you don't, but I'm guessing you're probably like me and you probably have even better and more prolific ideas than I do, or a greater proliferation of ideas than I do. And what we're used to doing is seeing an idea come into our mind like this, right? And sort of letting it hang there maybe for a second, thinking, oh, that'd be cool if that happened. That'd be sweet. And then maybe we do a little bit of research on it, or we scribble it down in a notepad, or we text it to ourselves, or we convince ourselves, oh, I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it. Well, I won't. Maybe you will, but I won't. Even though I tell myself every time, I'm totally going to remember this. This is such a good idea. How could I possibly forget? I don't know. I have. Surprise myself every single time. I don't know how. So maybe you stop whatever you're doing and you dive into the idea and you do 37 hours of research and, you know, make a Google Doc and a Notion page and do all the things. And then, you know, one of two things happens. Either you just lose your steam because you've been, I don't know, manically working on this idea, or you get distracted, or you just run into a roadblock where you're like, oh shit, this is going to be a lot of work. Like crocheting a shirt for my partner, I'm going to have to learn how to crochet. I'm going to have to go buy the yarn. How much yarn do I need? Do I need to watch a tutorial? Blah, 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 right? Starts to like build up, get overwhelming. And then we just like kind of maybe let that idea rot for weeks or months or decades, perhaps. And we just never do it. But we tell ourselves, oh, maybe I'll do it eventually. So sometimes an idea goes in that direction, an idea or an intuition, right? Other times we sort of will take the idea and we'll sort of blindly thrash around in action mode, and we'll spend money on buying new supplies, and we're going deep on all the research, and we just dive right into it. And in the process, we sort of are flailing around because we don't really know what we're doing. We don't really have a plan, and we sort of like attack it. And sometimes that ends up working out for us, right? Sometimes we'll end up finishing that project or doing that thing. Other times, again, we get pretty far into it and then we give up. And it's because we're not prepared, or we're overwhelmed, or it costs too much money, or, you know, yeah, we've done the, you know, algebra on it and we're like, you know what, this is wasting, it's just too much time. At this point, I might as well just buy the shirt. Okay, well, that really wasn't the point of it or why I wanted to do it, but now I've not only wasted my time and money buying the supplies, but I feel stupid because there's this thing that I wanted to do and I couldn't do it. I've admitted defeat. So this is what tends to happen to us, right? especially when we're flooded with ideas. We get overwhelmed by them. Well, let me say, we either go in one of two directions. We just continue to let these ideas wash up on our shores and we never sort of harvest them, grab them, collect them, and do something with them. Or we try to do something with them, but because we are not deliberate or intentional, or we don't really plan, or we don't have a process, we maybe get halfway through it and then we end up failing or DNFing, you know, do not finish. And when that happens, we're giving a sign or a signal to our intuition saying, I don't trust you and I don't take you seriously. I don't trust you and I don't take you seriously. These gifts that you give me, this information that you tell me, I don't do anything with it. And the same goes for like not just ideas for, let's say, the book that you want to write or the play that you want to produce or the song that you want to write. You know, the same thing goes for knowledge. When your intuition tells you something about someone or an experience and you don't really listen to it, it's okay. You don't have to listen to it, but it's kind of like the person who cried wolf. If your intuition continues to tell you, I don't like this person, I don't like hanging out with this person, doesn't make me feel good, and you continue to hang out with that person, eventually intuition just kind of says, okay, I can only tell you so many times. You have made your choice. I'm not going to continue harping on it. Eventually, intuition just stops speaking to us, right? Or it stops giving us hints because it knows we're not going to listen anyways. We're not going to pay attention anyways. And that's why if we really want to develop our intuitive powers, if we want to be more psychic, if we want to be more aligned internally, if we want to be more potent and powerful and intentional, then we have to act on our intuition. We can't continue to sort of talk down to it or dismiss it or say, I'll worry about you later, or I don't really trust you. And that's effectively what we're doing every time we get an idea that floats into our mind that we're excited about and we put it on a shelf somewhere. And not only does this, you know, like obviously make our intuition feel bad and deplete our intuition, it also depletes our self-confidence and our own understanding of what we're capable of. So this is a weird, weird connection, but stay with me. Okay, so I have a dog. She's a bad dog. She's a good dog, but she's a bad dog. And, you know, I adopted her from an intense shelter experience. She was a year old when she came to me. She's got capital T trauma and probably little T trauma. And she is reactive. Thankfully, she's a small girl, you know, so we can keep her in check. But when I was trying to do dog training with her, something that I learned was building confidence actually really helps dogs who are aggressive, who seem like they are really reactive. Because really, a dog that's reactive a lot of the time is lacking confidence and is scared. And so one way that we can help them not be less reactive is to build their confidence. And the way that we can build their confidence is actually through skill building. So I had to like teach her to jump on higher and higher crates or higher and higher walls. And the more that she learned how to do that, the higher her confidence got, the more capable she felt, and the more powerful she got. Now, did that make her less reactive? Story for another day. But I thought this was so interesting because I was like, that's right. Yeah, that's true. The more competent we feel, the more confident we are in ourselves, the more our anxiety goes down, the more our sort of aggression towards others or even like our haterism, you know, someone who's just like, they're straight up hater. So often it's because they feel like they're less than, right? And so they're trying to tear other people down because they don't have confidence in themselves. Even when we get, you know, negative feedback from other people, this always sticks with me. My therapist told me this a couple years ago, a long time ago now at this point. She said, you know, Michelle, when you know that what someone is telling you about yourself is untrue, just like patently untrue, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt as much. You can't take it as seriously. You won't take it as seriously because you know, well, that's just not true. And when something hurts you that someone else says outside of you, especially someone who doesn't know you, it's because part of you thinks that that is true or believes that it is true or worries that that is true. And when you know yourself, if someone says something like, you're a selfish bitch, you're going to say, yeah. Or you're going to say, I know that I'm not that. Like, I know I can be selfish. I know I can be a bitch, but I'm not a selfish bitch. And it rolls off you like water rolls off a duck's back. That really stuck with me where I was like, oh yeah, that's true. The more confidence I have in myself and what I know to be true, the more resilient I am, the more powerful I am because I'm less afraid to be seen and to do things out in the world and be myself. And ultimately, that's what I'm here to do, right? Is to be and to do things and experience things. So winding it all the way back down to how to develop your intuition more, listening to your ideas and taking action on them. Not only will this develop your intuitive skills, your psychic skills, because again, you're turning the volume up on your intuition. You're saying, I'm taking you seriously and I'm listening to you and I'm going to follow the breadcrumbs that you give me. This is an exercise in trust because intuition doesn't tell us exactly what's going to happen, right? Intuition just says, open the door. And you're like, but what's behind there? And it's like, open the door. But what's going to happen if I open the door? Just open the door. But I'm a little scared of the dark. Just open the door. You got to open the door. Intuition is not going to tell you every next step that happens. They're not even really going to tell you why most of the time. You just have to take the step and trust yourself. Trust that you'll know what to do next, that you can handle what happens next. So we can develop our confidence and our intuition by taking the ideas that are sort of handed to us, the hints from the universe, the psychic breadcrumbs from our intuition or our unconscious, and rolling with them. And part of the way that we can do that is by creating more clear systems for ourselves, by making it easy to say yes to that book idea, by making it easy to write down what our brilliant ideas are and prioritize them so that they don't just get lost in the abyss of our unconscious mind. And that's why I always say that getting your own systems locked in is really important for people who are really intuitive and creative, partially because systems help us sort of turn down the volume on busy work and distraction in our life, the unnecessary things like the admin stuff that we sort of inevitably get caught up by and distracted by, the stuff that really doesn't matter, but it feels like it matters in the moment. And also because the more we listen to ourselves, the more we take action on the things that excite us, we exponentially increase our own confidence and we, again, increase our own intuition and we strengthen our own magic. And ultimately, that's why I'm here. And I think that's why a lot of us do what we do or want to do what we do. So with that, I'm going to say, if you're like, damn, I got ideas and I don't know what to do with them, I think you'll love System Spells. I'm teaching it very soon. This is the last time I'm going to teach it live for a very long time. And it's a class that teaches you how to build systems for your unique brain. It's really fun. We've had probably over 500 students take it over the last couple of years. Definitely over 500 students take it over the last couple of years. And it's one of my favorite things to teach. So I would love to see you in class. I am excited to hear what you think of this episode. And I will see you on the internet. You can sign up for Notion for Magical Body System Spells at the link below. The 12th House is produced by the Holisticism team with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes. Thanks for listening.